Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Grokey. Hey, Dolly, let me get you by a groggy. So I want to pull them to their long, like chewing gum, pulling out of a nerd's mouth there, Dolly. Groggy.
It was better before we started the episode.
Dolly. Hey, Dolly.
I am desperately trying to learn how to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's going great. I mean, if it's any consolation, there's not a lot of room for Australian accents in Hollywood. So I don't think you're ever going to be requested to pull this one off.
No, they just keep hiring Australian men to play American men.
Yeah. I know.
And it's only because they're stunningly handsome.
No, they are dreamy. Of course, we're talking about Australian serial killers, part number two.
very good.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think we're going to start off by, we're going to do a little presentation here. Henry has been working very, very hard on his Australian accent.
I mean, I feel like it's sad if you tell people he's been working hard on it, because then people say, oh, that's sad.
No.
But if you say, he's just pulling it off.
You'll see.
Yeah, you'll see. So I've got some slang words and terms from Australia. I'm going to feed them to Henry. And he's going to give us what he's been working on.
Hello, my name is Grant Templeton, and I work for the literary and speechuary faculties over at Oswald University, dead in the center of highly contemporary London, England. And I have learned through my years of working verbally with actors, directors, chimney sweeps, garbage men. They call them binmen.
Binmen.
In London, how to properly use an Australian accent. Now, many of these tips are true. All right, so now, yes, the sound I in the Australian accent actually sounds like oi.
Oi.
Right? Like an oil.
Oil.
Right? So when you say, like, light, I, it's loi.
Loit.
But the thing is that it's not as ridiculous as light. It's light.
Light.
Right? Same thing.
I feel good about that.
Yeah.
All right. Light. The sound in that or hat. Can. Cat. Not goat. Bat. Sounds like eh. So it's hit. Fit. Bit.
Bit.
I love your it. Right?
Loit. It.
Right, mate. I like your it.
Honey, I feel like the guy that we hired to teach us how to speak Australian really only taught us how to say cat and light. And
all you need to get around contemporary Australia is the words like, right, hat, bat, can,
loik,
bogan.
Bogan.
And that's all bogan? You need. And those are all the casual tips you need to properly speak an Australian accent. So please give me any sentence you like and I'll show you exactly how it sounds.
All right. First one. As cross as a frog in a sock.
As cross as a frog in a sock, man.
Well, it seems like you didn't take your own advice there.
But I'm still playing a character.
Character
of Crikey Peterson, Crocodile Masseuse.
Ah, well, I see. Well, of course, they're very stressed out. They need a nice massage.
It said hard skin.
Yeah, tough to get in there. Yeah.
All right, next up. He doesn't know Christmas from Burke Street.
He doesn't know Christmas from Back Street, all right, mate?
It does sound like you're trying to
and the reason
sell
why,
somebody bad fish or something.
Well, but it comes out to yes, and they do say Australian. Does sound like the Cockney accent, but we do not blame the Australians from being the progeny of Cockney rapists. Who we do blame is the original Cockneys for being rapists. So Cockneys, right. Stop it. Leave your wickers in your dickers and let those women pass.
I always said that too. Let them pass, you Cockney scum. Well, that was a very interesting lesson. We all learned something today, I believe.
Yeah, so you go home now and take those lessons and impress your friends, sound Australian. Or hopefully you don't get tossed in a brig and then sent to some awful beach wasteland where you're forced to live out your days making thatch huts and raping your sister whose name is Gay.
Well, you might be such good training, they might confuse you for Australian and send you right there to that beautiful place.
Well, guess what, man? Yeah. I'll work my way to the top of the food chain because being funny counts.
Well, we're starting off today with Mr. Eric Edgar Cook.
Can we please pronounce it correctly? Eric Edgar Cook.
All right. Not sure that's properly. It's approximately.
The night caller.
Yep, he's called the night caller. Yeah. A full 15 to 20 years before Richard Ramirez was called the night stalker.
Right.
And if there's one thing that I've noticed about these guys, and a lot of these Australian serial killers, they're like these weird sideways versions of American serial killers.
Yes, yeah. I'll never drink a bottle of Merlot. That is from the movie Sideways.
I've heard this joke eight times in text messages.
Yeah, I already said this joke.
Multiple times.
Yeah. That was Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
I will never drink a bottle of it.
Merlot, that is.
Boy, Thomas Hayden Church was just the perfect foil for
him. Yes, he really was. No, but it's true.
Night caller is much worse than Night Stalker, though.
Well, Night caller is just like, it's sounds like...
Hey, is your refrigerator running? You better catch it. I am the night caller.
I am the night caller.
No, this man killed 8 people.
Yes, yes. Sure. But he's terrifying. What I like about these serial killers we're covering today is that they have... I feel like the first batch we were covering were specifically like an Australian type of crime with the backpacker murders type thing. But this is contemporary. It is a urban setting serial killers, and they're pretty fucking intense.
Yep. Our first guy, he terrified Perth from 1959 to 1963. And I also got to say about Perth, it's like the Wisconsin of Australia.
Is that
so right? Many serial killers in Perth.
Yeah. Oh,
I've heard great things about Perth, as a matter of fact.
I hear because it started off as like a beautiful sort of seaside country town that they only had to get locks because of this man. The night caller actually changed the whole attitude of Perth.
Well, look to who will benefit, and then you have yourself the serial killer. It's obviously the new lock company that moved to town. They have a little son they keep locked up in the basement, this Mr. Cook character, perhaps.
Well, Cook, if we go through his early life a little bit, we'll see that he was born into a very unhappy, violent family. He had a father named Vivian.
Oh, well, what are you doing? A boy named Sue, huh?
There's a lot of men with female names out of Australia. They're all named like, Matt. Hi there, mate. My name's Samantha. Nice to meet you there, buddy. Hey, you want to feel these muscles? It's from wrestling a kangaroo, aren't they?
I'm not messing with them.
This guy, he came from an abusive family. He hits a lot of markers of serial killers.
Well, the reason why he came from an abusive family, I feel like maybe it would have been normal if he was born with a disgusting hair lip and puff pout.
I know, the hair lip. Yeah, that's something special.
Yeah, he did have a pretty, pretty big hair lip.
And his father resented him. And he said, he was like, I was watching.
He's always looking at the thing stuck between his two front teeth.
Because I shouldn't go like, don't hear you for that. Why can I be beautiful like the other kids?
And he's just like, guys, I'm an abomination, that Edgar.
Totally.
Yeah, mumbled all the time, got bullied like a motherfucker constantly.
You don't know. You don't want to die with
that. I want to hit Henry now.
I just said, yeah, no, I mean, it's a very aggravating accent to have with a cleft lip.
Yeah, because you're just going like...
the whole time.
Can't drink a milkshake.
Oh, man.
You're supposed to go on a date. Most of my dates involve sharing a milkshake
intimately.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
And this was in the 50s when milkshakes were the only thing we had to drink.
Oh, it was a lovely time to split a milkshake with a gal unless you start sucking too hard in the goddamn straw. Next thing you know, you're only getting quarter milkshake. You paid for the whole damn thing. She's getting all big.
It's all about sacrifices, Ben.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yes, it is. The guy also had a ton of head injuries. He was a bit of a clumsy man.
Hair lip, alcoholic father, abusive father, cleft palate, a bunch of head injuries. I think he's gonna be a lawyer.
That's fine, Ben. You got big lips. If you were, if you were missing a chunk of those lips, it'd throw the weight off of your old head. You'd be going back and forth like some kind of, you know, like newborn baby with a man's body.
It would be disgusting. Newborn just, baby in the ocean, just up and down, bobbing there with the head, the necks all weak.
Well, at the age of 16, Cook worked as a hammer boy and a blacksmith.
May I have a job, sir? Hit your head with a hammer.
All right, your job is to make sure that none of those greedy snakes get a hold of any more hammers.
This is like, what do you mean? Your snakes play with the hammers? This is like, I ain't got time to explain Australia workplace to you, Edgar.
Yep. Hammer Boy. That is the dumbest title I've ever heard somebody get.
Yeah, and in addition to that, he also signed his lunch bags Al Capone every day.
Oh, he's a real cool cat.
Yeah, real cool cat.
I love that story about Al Capone having that surgery to fix his hair lip.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that Al Capone story.
So cool.
And as if the hair lip wasn't bad enough, by the end of his tenure as Hammer Boy, he ended up burning his face with steam and suffered second-degree burns, which made him even more grotesque.
Go into the opera. And just be the phantom of it. I mean, this guy couldn't get more deformed.
He's kind of a Cobra Commander type character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He also hit a lot of other markers of serial killers. He got arrested for vandalism. He got arrested for thievery. And he got arrested for arson. And one of the detectives that worked his case called him, quote, one of life's unfortunates.
Yes, absolutely. Because he's got that V-lip and he's got a bad attitude. That's the other problem. Again, yeah. We talk about this all the time. If you have something physically wrong with you, let's say you're fat. Let's say you're a sweater.
You got a
limp. Let's say you're 90 feet tall, all right?
You sweat a lot, yeah.
Gotta be funny.
Yeah.
Gotta be charming. Gotta get out there and make friends.
I love that the detective called him one of the unfortunates, not his victims.
Yeah.
That's how ugly this guy was. Like, the people that he stole from, they were like, he could have the boombox. Like, I don't know.
It was like in the movie Under the Skin. She lets the toddler die, but she finally feels fucking any sort of pity for the guy with the ugly face. Mm-hmm. That's an Under the Skin reference.
Yeah, it's a wonderful movie. Go
see
it.
This is apparently also what Cook also said is when he went into petty thievery, it was because he was like, you know what? It's about time. I need to get on it up and up, so I better make some money. Yep. And he literally had this whole thing about he wanted to be like Al Capone, and the way he decided he wanted to be like Al Capone was taking money out of like old women's purses and setting fire to mailboxes.
Mm.
And
I was just like, remember that chapter.
Al Capone had
life.
A crime empire.
Yeah. He was also arrested for being a peeping Tom, did 2 years hard labor for stealing a car, but he wised up after he got released, got himself a pair of ladies' gloves.
Well, you're not going to stop getting made fun of if you start doing it like that. Get a pair of big, manly leather gloves if you want to kill people.
The hair lip, a cleft palate, the burns all over his face, but he's got those nice lady gloves.
Those beautiful ladies' gloves. And also, I what I do appreciate is they did change the name of the crime to Peeping Tom from Looky Lou Louie.
Yeah, Looky Lou Louie, Stalking Edgar, something like that.
Yeah. Pussy Peeping Peter.
I'm Pussy Peeping Peter. Can I be the next Hammer Boy?
Please leave my office. And
I'll bring my own hammer. Yeah.
So a couple years after he was released from prison for stealing the car, about 2 years after that, that is when the murders began. Now, the reason why these murders were so terrifying, first of all, it went on over a span of 4 years. Second of all, these crimes, much like Richard Ramirez, extremely unpredictable, extremely violent, and extremely random.
Again, we're going to see it in a complete parallel to Richard Ramirez, is that Perth at the time was very similar to Santa Barbara, where Richard Ramirez was operating. It's a very safe town. People are using, like, they were saying they would sleep out in the veranda.
Beat
the summer heat. It was also very similar to the beginning of Richard Ramirez, is that this summer that the crime started was a sweltering
summer in Perth. And so people were leaving their doors open and sleeping outside.
Yeah. And much like Richard Ramirez, he hung out a lot of times at the houses where he committed crimes. At one crime, he went and got lemonade from the fridge and sat out on the veranda and had him a nice little afternoon.
If you own a home and you see somebody with a melted up face and a bunch of cleft palate and then he's got a hair lip and he's just hanging out by the old mailbox flipping a coin, you know what you do? Get out of here! Gotta go get out of here, kid!
Oh, I'll get out of here. You know that I
mean? Yeah, don't come back.
Shoot!
Don't tell me. Not enough people shooing. You're gonna be Al Capone? Why don't you Capone on out? Get on out of here!
Also, like Richard Ramirez, some of his victims were brutally murdered and fucked with after the fact. One of them was strangled to death with the cord from a bedside lamp. Cook then raped the corpse, dragged it to the neighbor's lawn, sexually penetrated it with an empty whiskey bottle on the lawn, and then left the bottle cradled in the victim's arm.
Which is very interesting because it shows that, like, it shows this weird thing that makes him very similar to an American serial killer, where it is about the showing of the corpse. He wanted people to see what was going on. He was making fun of the woman by putting the beer bottle, the whiskey bottle in her hands. It started, the whole murder process started with an overnight four-person shooting spree. That basically,
kind of gun did he use?
He used a rifle,
22,
like a hunting rifle.
Capone.
Well, that's also
Capone wouldn't be caught dead using a rifle.
Also, Capone got other people to do his stuff.
Yes, that's true.
And he's nowhere near Capone.
Okay,
but he's somewhere between Richard Ramirez and a Son of Sam, where it's like the way he started was that basically people were asleep in their beds, and he would come up on them while they were asleep, and he'd shoot them in the side of the head. Two people died, two people lived. Yeah. And then one was a shot, they went to the hospital still, which is because it was not a very powerful gun.
A 22 is a shit gun to try to kill
and
someone
so
with.
Basically, after the first night, it was because I was on Australia Day, which I still don't understand. I think Australia Day is a day that you could take a koala to the supermarket and you get a 50% off coupon. I'm not sure.
I think so. Yeah, you get a free koala with each $50 purchase.
I'm trying not to be racist against Australians.
Do they
please explain to me what Australia Day is? Is it a day that kangaroos get a present?
Because you know what? We just can't be bothered to look it up.
Being a kangaroo is a present in itself. I wonder if there has to be a koala attack. Like somebody takes a koala into their home, like that woman took a chimp into her home, and then koala's got to have eaten somebody's friend's face off.
They will beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Well, the whole kangaroo punch is a real thing. They got
kangaroo,
the
of course.
Oh,
yeah.
See, a koala, you touch it right in the butt, it'll suck your dick.
Yeah, koalas.
It'll suck your dick right
there.
No, if you touch it on the rear there, on the
get
butt.
Get yourself over to Australia if you want to meet some of the cutest, funniest little fucking fleshlights on the face of the planet.
A koala in
the palm trees of Australia.
Now, koalas are vicious animals. They have long, sharp claws. Yeah.
Try to get it to suck your
teeth,
though, Ben.
I will. I mean, now that I know the truth, because you told me, Henry.
Yeah, some of the other victims in the Australia Day shooting, there was a couple was wounded in a parked car. There was a male accountant that was killed by a single shot to the head. There was an 18-year-old student who was killed again on the veranda.
An accountant in Perth.
An accountant.
I just
in
feel
Perth.
Like people like bring him a bunch of money, and he's like, "That's money." Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Oh my God, you've got money.
Good to know. Thank you so much, accountant.
And he also killed a retired grocer who, you know, he shot him in the head as soon as he opened the door. Rang the bell, the guy opened the door, and just boom.
Oh, a
right
grocer. So you know he's a little bit slow.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you know,
grocer
a
retired. A grocer used to own
the
grocery
store.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's not like the cart pusher.
A milk carton boy, which is what they name every job for a retarded person in Australia, is that is for the retarded people.
Milk carton boy, okay.
And two of Cook's murders actually resulted in false convictions of other people. One of them, this guy named John Button, was wrongly convicted for killing Rosemary Anderson. What's your problem with John Button?
I just feel bad for Button. You know, going to prison with a name like Button, not good.
And another was the murder of Gillian McPherson Brewer, who was a Melbourne chocolate heiress. And she was stabbed with a hatchet and scissors, which led to the false conviction of Daryl Beamish.
But all of those last two crimes came out of after they captured him, and he basically went on very similar to like a Henry Lee Lucas, where he went on a being like, and I did that crime, and I did that crime.
Yeah.
That's another thing I found with every one of these serial killers. As soon as they're pressed by the police, like a little bit, they tell them everything.
Everything. Well, they love it. They love it. That's their story.
Every story we read was like, you know, and then the serial killer, he like took them to all the bodies, took them out to their family's house, told them every single thing. They all became like friends. They're all sitting around fucking sharpening boomerangs together.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, how they finally caught this guy is this woman named Shirley McLeod was murdered, and they found a rifle hidden in a Geraldton wax bush.
Well, did you hear the thing where she was like, she was walking through, it got discovered by this old lady. It's called Shelton Wax, right?
Yeah.
And she was just like, you know, I never would have ever reached over and picked some of the stinky plant of Shelton Wax, but because I have a whole backyard of it. But there I did. I bent over and picked a flower, and there the rifle was. Which is true, yeah. She bent over to pick specifically a stinky flower.
It's like the Australian god told her to so that she could find the rifle.
So they took the rifle that was left there, returned with a similar rifle. Of course, they rendered it inoperable. They tied the rifle to the bush with fishing line.
So they attempted to catch a serial killer like they were trying to catch a kangaroo.
A kangaroo or an animated Wile E. Coyote or a roadrunner. What
they don't talk
runner.
About in any of the things, yes, it definitely had a giant cage suspended by a vine over it.
And it just had a bunch of signs that says, don't grab the gun. Don't go into the wax bush and grab this gun, please.
And they had constructed a hide across the street, waiting for someone to return for it. They waited 17 days until Cook finally showed up.
They sat and watched it for almost 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you ever get
the feeling that we were being punished by the commissioner? No one seems to be grabbing that dumb gun trap we set up.
Know that, Clayton. We're arrows.
Oh, okay.
Now pass me another gobbledy-doo. I love these newt-flavored sandwich sandwich candies.
Oh, man, I'm so happy that candy sandwich store opened up. They only got that one newt flavor, but that is good to be stuck in a car with you.
So Cook was the last person in Western Australia to be sentenced to death by hanging. He told his lawyer to not apply for any appeals because he deserved to pay for what he had done.
Also, the Australian legal system is very weird about that, where they basically, what they did with him was like, they had a bunch of circumstantial evidence. They had him going for the rifle, and they picked it up. They had some connection to the bullets of the rifle, but then, like, literally how they got them to confess is that the police officer sat across from him and was like, he's like, hey, Edgar, let's just face it. All right, buddy, you're gonna hang no matter what, because we're gonna make you hang. All right, might as well hang with a completely clean conscience. And he's like, oh, I did it!
Got me good.
Yeah, they just literally just jumped right into it and then told him everything.
That is hilarious. I cannot believe they just tied a string to a gun, put it in a bush, and had the guy go grab it. And then why didn't he just let go with a gun?
No. But then he doesn't get trapped.
It's like they're big bass fishing, but for a big dummy in Australia. This is how you catch an idiot.
And that's
Australia.
What they got. And they got
you
themselves 135-pound fucking
cleft palate, burned-up, lady-glove-wearing sociopath.
But strangely...
We got to do this. We should just go around, put random things in bushes, tie strings to them, and see who can't get human fishing.
Only one... This is the strange thing. Is that despite him having a wife and seven children by the age of 33...
Wow. And this woman looked like... I don't know how to describe it. She looked like... You remember Sauron's messenger in Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
She's all teeth. Yeah.
Well... She can't. She should be all lips. You know, couples tend to even each other out.
I gotta tell
you, you know?
It's hard to find love in this world. You know, if you can be Edgar Cook and still find love in this life, you know what I mean?
I would argue it wasn't really a loving house.
Who knows? It could have been like Sleepless in Seattle. I don't know. We weren't there.
Despite him having a large family, only one woman kept vigil outside of Fremantle Prison on the morning of his execution in October 1964. Less than a year after he was caught.
The big serial killer creature. Nobody came to mourn his death.
Well, he also said that part of it was just to sort of mourn the ending of the time period where they were having death penalties.
Yeah, it's for closure and all that stuff. So they don't have any, no more death penalty in Australia, huh?
No, not in Western Australia.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about Eastern Australia, but I know they don't do it in Western Australia because all the stuff we're working on right now, Western Australia.
Western Australia. Eastern Australia is a beautiful country full of snakes. I don't know. I don't know.
I like it.
Again,
yeah.
I've never even seen a picture of Australia. I assume that there are giant castles, right? And isn't there a big, there's a big spire with like a flaming eye on it and everyone says there's going to be like a thing that we're all leading up to. And then I was told by this fucking wizard dude who showed up, he said, I got this thing and I'm supposed to go down there and there's like a big volcano. I'm supposed to throw this ring in there. I was like, but I got work to do. I'm trying to be on TV. And he says like, no. You keep it secret, keep it safe. And then I just gave the ring to this guy that I met. He was wearing this sort of cloak type thing. I couldn't see his face. He kind of smelled weird. And I get this sword that kind of glowed around him when he came in. And I gave him the ring and he just let, and I fucking dodged that fucking bullet.
I did not know that. Yeah, that's Australia though, huh? Wow. That is great.
Well, Cook, the last man to be hanged in Western Australia, was buried above the last woman to be hung in Australia. Her name was Martha Rendell.
This guy can't avoid pussy. Jesus.
Her name was Martha Rendell, and she was sentenced to death in 1909 for killing three children by swabbing their throats with hydrochloric acid.
Hell yeah. We caught her by tying a string to a child, putting that child into a bush. She went for the kid, and we found her 23 days later. Yeah.
All right.
23 days.
So that is Edgar Cook. Now we're going to move on to
8 kills total with Mr. Cook.
8 kills total, 22 assaults. Like, we didn't even go through all of the attempted murders.
Because that was the other thing, too.
A ton of them.
Did you read about the hit and run killings?
Yeah.
While he was driving back and forth between shooting people and then stabbing that woman and then strangling another woman, because these were all like various nights of spree killings, he was also running women down in the street with his car. Like, can you imagine that? He's literally not only leaving a scene of a crime, but you know he's driving on the street like going like, yes, who's the pizza delivery boy now? It's me, it's Domino's calling. Oh, 30 minutes of your pie is free.
Thank you.
It's supposed to be fun when your whole life is like Grand Theft Auto.
I know, that's what it seemed like. Yeah, he lived the real life version of it.
So our next guy, Mr. John Wayne Glover, the granny killer.
Ah.
This guy killed six elderly women in Sydney in 1989-1990, over a 14-month period.
And I'm never, again, the fact that, you know, he's got, shares a name with one of our favorite of favorites, Mr. John Wayne Glover. You know he's a man. Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying like,
oh, John initials, Wayne, he shares the initials.
He's a John Wayne G.
John Wayne G.
Yeah.
And he is a man's man, and loves the lady.
Yeah,
except for his mother-in-law Essie.
Yeah,
he loves being incapacitated ladies. He loves the shufflers.
Yeah, loves the lady.
It's like a gilk, you know, a gilk grandmother I'd like to kill, and he certainly did a lot of that.
I have a grandmother I'd like to kill.
No, you have a nice, loving Italian grandmother.
I don't though.
No, she's a monster.
So you want to stick this guy on your grandmother? Is that right, Henry?
Go get her.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of background.
Also,
tie
with a
this
string
guy,
around
see-
your grandmother. And then just call him and wait.
We're going to see a lot of similarities between him and the Boston Strangler again. Albert DeSalvo, which we're going to do probably in a whole Big Hitters episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which was an insatiable sex maniac who loved to kill old women because they're easy.
Mm-hmm. So far, though, I'm going to say Nightcaller versus Night Stalker. I'm giving it to the stalker because the caller isn't.
Yeah, well.
What I do like about the Nightcaller is that he changed Perth. You know what I mean? Like, he basically showed up being like, this is what happens if we don't lock your doors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate, but also, you know, you got to face reality at some point. Eventually.
I love a good locked door.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the door locked.
Yeah. I like two locks.
You know, when I'm alone in the house and I'm going to the bathroom, I still lock the bathroom door. I like all doors locked.
What I do every night, if you notice I'm a little tired, I like to leave the door kind of open, right? Mm-hmm. I leave the doors open.
Oof.
And then I get a fucking bow and arrow. I have this combat
bow and
arrow.
You have a bow and arrow?
Right? And I sit in the living room on my vibrating massage chair that I have from 1997.
And that's just a child stuck in a chair, and you just put leather over a boy in town.
Grip my calves, Brian, or you're never getting out of
there. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, this guy, John Wayne Glover, was not Australian. He was actually British. He grew up in Wolverhampton.
That's right. There's been a long history of shipping British criminals to Australia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's where you put them.
Now, this also took place in Sydney, so this is our big city. This is a good big city killer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He immigrated to Australia in 56 or 57, first lived in Melbourne, always had big problems with older women in his life. His mother, did not like his mother, Frida. He resented her because after she left her father, she just kept going from man to man to man to man. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, with a lady having a good time.
Yeah.
But Mr. Glover did not enjoy that. And the older woman in particular that he had a problem with was his mother-in-law, Essie, who he came into contact with after he married his wife, whose name was... It was Gay Rolls.
So yes. Because originally it was changed from the Native American Louis Anderson's side meat.
Oh, I see. Gay Rolls.
But Gay That's Rolls. Great. But I also do love about Australian ladies. Maybe they're just more understanding and sweet and kind. I think they're sweeter because Gay Rolls came out and said afterwards were the crimes. She's like, you know, I still love them. Even though he was a piping Tom and an arsonist and a thief before I met him, but I thought was not. They're all fine with them. Every one of these men in Australia have a criminal history.
They all seem to have a wife. I mean, I just feel like if you're traveling into another country, trying to become a citizen of that country, someone before you become a citizen should ask, "Why? What are you doing here?" And then if you'd be like, "I'm here to kill all your grandmothers," they say, "Oh, but maybe you want to be doing something different." And then you say, "I'm here to real estate." Okay, come in.
Come in. Thank you for at least trying to lie to us.
Very nice. Yeah.
The only acceptable reason to interrupt a podcast? Your dog. That was your dog saying thank you for BarkBox. You can take a minute now. You pet your dog. You're going to learn about Bark. It's the company dedicated to making dogs happy. Yay! Every month, BarkBox designs and delivers a whole new collection of toys and treats just for your best bud. No, Wendy, I can't get you a whip. You're too cute for weapons. Every treat is made with yummy, healthy, all-natural ingredients like pumpkin and sweet potato. Mmm, tubers. My dogs love their toys selectively. But BarkBox sends good little ones for their little tiny mouths. They have little mouths, but strong, big spirits. So they fight over the little toys. I imagine they think that they are hunting and going after little bugs and rats. And oh, they love their life and they love what BarkBox brings, because BarkBox brings the bark and puts it in a box. Yep. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/LEFT.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text, and that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Every day, I fight to set my child up for success, which is why, as I sit and read Carmi and Wendy Doon, trying to explain to them the concepts of the savior complex not working, doubling back on itself, the concept of what does it mean to be a living God? What are those limitations? What are those expectations? And honestly, I know they just want chicken. But there are kids out there that need this type of direct help. And IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them understand and master topics in a fun way, not unlike me reading children, Dune Messiah, getting to about 365, seeing where they're at, see if they understand anything. There's no more grading these worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. You can't even believe it! You don't want to make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And last podcast on the left listeners could get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/left. Visit IXL.com/left to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So this guy, he was in a prime position to commit these crimes because all throughout the 80s, he was a volunteer at the Senior Citizens Society. And much like many serial killers, he was considered trustworthy. He was considered friendly and a valued member of the community.
And he also worked for 420 Pie Company. Another interesting connection to America.
420 Meat Pie Company.
Meat Pie Company.
Different
as
pie
sales
entirely.
Representative.
So he would show up to nursing homes and apartment complexes to sell them their grimy meat pies.
Right.
And he also had a way with old women. Yeah, he was building his fucking toolkit.
Yeah.
Because believe me, charming an old woman takes some time.
Because
the first thing you gotta do is get a good fucking grip on her shoulders. Right?
Well, that's not too difficult to do.
That is how you charm an old woman. You grab her by the shoulders and be like, come with me, come with me, come. You know,
that's
and they
scary.
Just, it's
that's
charming.
Scary. That was charming?
No, what you do is you go, come. Because it hypnotizes them. Then you put a bag over their head, right? You get them in the back of your car. And then you go through their purse and shit.
Yeah.
And then you pull them out of the car and you tell them that they went to the grocery store and hand them an apple.
Oh, and it was just very expensive.
Yeah, they just didn't know.
I usually just ask them, you know, how are your grandkids? The 50s, those sounded like fun. Tell me about them.
They don't like their grandkids. Grandparents don't care to talk about their grandkids. They all hate their grandkids. They don't like the music they listen to or any of the things they watch on TV. That's what I've learned from grandparents. So they caught one guy. The cops used a string on a gun, put that in a bush, and then this guy just did it with a bunch of meat pies, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's very bizarre. It's simple.
It's a luring type of society.
It's very easy, it seems like.
So Glover's mother, she moved to Australia in 1976. She died of breast cancer in 1989 and right after. Like, oh,
76.
Month.
So he had to live with her for 13 more years. He left the entire country of England to get away from her, and she followed him to Australia?
Yeah. Also, he used a little bit of sleight of hand. He put the breast cancer in there.
Yeah, he slipped it right in. Put it into a meat pie. Had her eat a whole bunch of it.
Yep, and right after she died of breast cancer, just a few months later, that's when the murders began.
I want the world to know.
Now, there's no proof whatsoever that Glover committed any sort of murder before 1989.
But he was
at the age of 56. Yeah, very hush-hush. He had been married for 20 years. He had kids. His wife actually had no knowledge of his his previous offenses.
Very similar to, again, John Wayne Gacy, where he was a man of many secrets. Mm. Like, he obviously has been must have done something in between all of this.
Yes, mm-hmm. I believe that he did.
And they even said that after the fact. They're like, we can imagine there are other elderly related crimes that he must have been connected to
Got to.
But
at the end of the day, if you kill somebody who's 86, it's so easy for officers. And we know the police officers, if they can get away with doing nothing, they will. If an 86-year-old chick dies, they're like, well,
gasoline all over a 90-year-old woman and set her on fire. You know how often that's spontaneous human combustion?
Yeah. There's old people, you know?
Oh, man. You want to talk about not just cops fucking up, but neighbors fucking up
this
as well?
This is amazing.
We're going to see this over and over again, but let's start with his first victim, who he did not end up murdering, 84-year-old Margaret Todd Hunter. She was walking home. Todd Hunter walked up to her, punched her in the face, stole $209 from her purse, and then went to the Mossman RSL Club, which the RSL Club is the Australian version of the VFW.
One thing we'll learn
is... And that is his pattern over and over again.
And it will say he consistently robs the wealthiest of the grandmothers. $209. I mean, this is no joke.
But 1990?
This is the first time. And then a lot of it, he would take like $6. It would take whatever they had, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all you can take.
Next up, his first...
You know?
Yeah, that's all you got. That's all you can say.
But he didn't cut off any of her fingers? You know what I mean?
Well, no one wants to buy old lady fingers. Kid fingers.
I'm just saying, you could cut off some of her fingers and go like, hey, you want to see something funny? And then let it hang out your fly, you know? And you're like, what I got. You know, it's Australian prank companies have been using old women fingers as fake dicks for a long time.
Yeah, that is true. I've heard about that practical joke.
Weird thing was that he always took the money, but there was one time, I think one of the things that sort of broke the case eventually that they thought they had a serial killer on the hands is that he took the money in one case, but left the woman's diamond ring behind.
Yes.
Yeah, what do you want to do with a diamond ring?
I will actually say that the police did as good a job as they could have. Yes. There were problems with the citizenry, but they actually jumped on the idea of him being a serial killer very quick.
Yeah. I mean, after the third one.
It was after the third one.
Yeah. I mean, how many grandmothers just get strangled at a random... I mean,
we let BTK go for a long fucking time.
Yeah. We let a lot of them go for a long time.
They were better than the hot dog squad. Which is good. We're just not saying that much.
Oh, man. So how would Detective Popcorn handle this case?
So many delicious, Colonel. I wish that... Wait a second. What is this gooey brown you got on me? Vegemite. Ain't nothing delicious about that. I don't like being in Australia. Ain't nothing delicious here. You got peppered flavored cola.
Oh, you disappointed Detective Popcorn. It's all the way from America.
Tuna. Yeah.
Detective Popcorn, if you can just tell us one thing about the first victim here, we'll give you some Twizzlers, and you can be...
She was old. She looked like a bunch of jerky. Sweet savory jerky. With the teriyaki tang.
Anything else?
Maybe peppercorns next to the jerky. Leave it inside the plastic bag. Get spicy over time.
Can you get him back to America, please?
Yeah, this detective exchange program is not working, so let's get a Detective Frog Muncher back.
All right, let me take a look at it.
Can we just have
let me just play on his outrage feet.
I'm not sure if either of them are detectives.
So the first victim, Gwendolyn Mitchell Hill, Glover saw her walking down the street, and Glover was a very opportunistic, random type killer. He'd just see old ladies walking home. He'd follow them home.
They're
everywhere.
It's like they want me to kill him.
His weapon of choice was the hammer. Mm. As she went to open her door, he hit her with a hammer on the back of the head and then just kept hitting her in the head over and over again.
That's what you do.
And then started striking the body, breaking a whole bunch of ribs, took $100 from her purse, and she was found alive by two schoolboys. Unfortunately,
you want to help? You want to help?
And they're like, "No way, old lady!" And they just skateboard around her and over again, like they're fucking Bart Simpson,
grinding on her and stuff. Yeah,
well, it was 1989. The Simpsons were getting pretty big.
Kind of a cool time. Yeah,
she died pretty much as soon as the police and ambulance arrived, but there was no forensic evidence for good intention neighbors who thought that she had merely fallen,
fell down,
ignoring the multiple head wounds and broken ribs. wash down the crime scene.
Absolutely, always washing it down.
Say, oh no, someone dropped some jelly over here. I hope nobody's picnic was ruined. I better go get the over there to the wash the jelly.
Just wasn't a lot to do.
It's a bit of china plate, Miss Jelly. I wonder why someone must have dropped their breakfast dish.
Not a lot to do in Australia, so you see an opportunity to clean something up, you take it.
Yeah.
It's excited.
Next victim, Lady Winfreda Ashton.
Interesting name.
Yeah. A lot of interesting names.
Very interesting names. Glover followed her home, attacked her with his hammer. He said that she actually almost overpowered him until he fell on top of her, grabbed her by the hair, and started hitting her head on the pavement over and over and over again. And this is when he starts his signature, takes off the pantyhose, wraps them around her neck, and strangles her so hard that the pantyhose actually cut the skin.
So yeah. Now, there's no way that people in the neighborhood looked at her and thought that was a possible accidental death.
They thought this is probably a serial killer.
They thought it was a serial killer.
Except for the one detective. It's like, well, maybe she was putting on a scarf.
That was the other thing.
Slipped on a banana peel. And it's like, get out of here, Detective Rumpelstiltskin.
Mm. Don't call me by my name.
It's unfortunate.
And this is also when he begins staging bodies. And this, I think this does point towards him possibly committing murders before these, because this is only his second murder, and he's already escalated to the point where he's got a signature and he's staging bodies in a certain way.
He was also ready to go. Yeah. Like, he's been thinking about this crime for a long time.
Oh,
and
decades.
That's what they said too, is the way that he left the pantyhose like on her, like tied up, and then put her shoes nicely together and put her cane next to her shoes and all stuff. It's very we find out
just
he was
a nice
an old man.
Scene.
Yeah. So he took $100 out of her purse, again headed to the Mossman RSL to get drunk at the VFW again. And then when he heard sirens going by, he said, boy, I hope that's not another mugging gone wrong. Just like Ed Gein, like when Mary Hogan went missing.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, what happened to Mary Hogan? He's like, I got her back at my place. She's just hanging out. They're like, Ed, you're such a card, Ed.
Come the see her. Come over and look at her.
Oh, that joke
I'm
is so...
I'm desperately lonely.
If they're not a comedian and they keep on making jokes about how they have a body, or maybe they know something or something that somebody shouldn't know about a crime, they're the killer.
But the problem is also, what if they should be getting into comedy and this is the first time they're breaking through and be like, hey, maybe
bit.
I can make everybody laugh.
Yeah.
Maybe they're taking your advice, Henry.
Yeah.
Time to make them laugh.
Make them laugh.
And I'm sure he did very well in that VFW hall.
I'm sure he was great.
Yeah.
It's at this time that Glover, after the three murders, he takes a break from murdering
for
a while.
They wash down the crime scene.
Yeah.
No. This was in a bin area where they call a bin, which is a garbage can. And they walk. She was left behind this garbage cans in this apartment complex, and they didn't get to that part of it. The outside was washed, which was a problem. But these mates are on it.
They're on it. It's very clean, the city.
So he takes a break from murder for a while to really focus on his sexual assault in nursing homes game.
Oh, of course.
Well, that's like Michael Jordan getting into the fadeaway when he can't jump from the free throw line anymore.
Yeah, or going into baseball after he got a little bit bored with that game of basketball.
That's right. In June 1989, he molested 77-year-old Marjorie Mosley. The victim said that a man had put his hand under her nightgown, but of course she couldn't remember what he looked like.
I believe it was a man. He looked as if he was a big candy corn. Have you seen the candy corn?
Yeah.
And he shot a tentacle of seaweed out
a
from
a tentacled candy corn. Put his fingers
up
you.
Up into my magookie, which is Australian for vagina.
Well, we're also Australian, so you don't need to tell us that.
Yeah.
Magookie.
Yeah. Someone get her some lunch.
I'd like lunch.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
A couple weeks later, he went to a different nursing home, lifted the dress of an elderly patient, and fondled her buttocks.
I mean, if I was an old lady, I'd be like, keep them coming, boys.
But he would not enjoy you. You want it too bad.
He immediately went to the next room.
Did they ever think about tying a string to an elderly lady and putting her in a bush?
They tried to do it, but the problem is that every time they tied the string to the old lady, she was like,
oh, what a lovely sash. Thank you so much. Oh, now I can go to the...
Shut up.
To the Florence Henderson dance in style.
So right after this, he immediately goes to the next room, fondles the breasts of another old lady. She cries out, and Glover, they don't catch him red-handed, but they catch him in the area.
He was just tuning her grockies, right? Playing with her grockies like they were a radio.
Yeah. They question him, and they're like, get out of here. John, you're great. You just get out.
Because he was well-known in a bunch of these retirement communities as being the pie man.
Yeah, I think he'd been for years.
You're the pie man. I mean, and so if you're really elderly... It's sort of like True Detective, the man with the scars on his face. The Pie Man. Oh, the Pie Man?
The Pie Man
came? Pie Man did that?
Yeah.
The Pie Man?
He got blueberries in his shoes, and he...
So he was made of pie.
He was a big old pie, and
so
he
So a pie
in,
molested you?
And he gave me an orgasm.
Get her some lunch.
Oh, I'd like lunch.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
He waits a few months. He waits until October from June when he sexually assaults a blind woman at the
Wybie
Nursing
Home. That's the worst one, by the way.
I don't know. I think the blind woman or the next one is pretty bad.
It's like he lived out the music video to Lionel Richie's Hello.
The next one's pretty bad because he attacked 86-year-old widow Doris Cox, ramming her face into a brick wall. She survived the assault, but the reason why she couldn't really give any descriptions is because she had severe dementia.
Yeah, and she was talking about like Roger Rabbit was coming over there and he was, you know, he told her that there was diamonds in her face, you know, and like that's a problem.
Yeah. If you're going to get molested, I guess you might as well have dementia. You know, during it, if I'm gonna have to get like violently assaulted, do it when I think that everything was 1992.
I just can't wait to.
I think Bill Clinton's got a chance to be elected. You know, then you can just punch me a whole bunch of times.
I just can't wait to. I have dementia because then I'll just be like, yeah, Robert Tullin's big, Wendy.
Well, this woman, she said the woman with dementia, the best she could do as far as the description goes, she said it was possibly a teenager or a skateboarder.
Always blaming the skateboarders.
Always.
They're always making a racket with their skateboards, and to someone with dementia, they're very loud.
Yeah. That's how old this woman was. I mean, have we said how old this guy is yet?
86. She was 86.
And he is...
He's in his 56.
Old she was that she was... Anything
he's a young man.
Below 70 was just like, he's a skateboarder. He's a teenage skateboarder. He's like, I'm 63 years old.
And once again, the scene of the crime was washed down by neighbors before investigation.
Got to clean it up because, you got to be keeping appearances. And again, people are also just, there was a jelly ration on because all of the jelly factories had fires for many years.
I heard about that.
And so they had to save as much jelly as they could.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. God knows when the jelly burned. It's a great Australian
jelly burned down. Oh, where the jelly was burning.
Sad. Great time for
great
odor.
Song.
Though.
Good song, great, though. Good and beautiful song. Smells.
Yeah, oh, good time for music and good time for aroma.
Yeah, it's from the Australian group, The Band. his next encounter does not end in a murder. This one's kind of weird. He goes.
This one ends in love.
He approaches Dorothy Binky. She's
weird,
78.
Weird name.
He engaged her in conversation, offered to carry her groceries home for her. She invited him in for a cup of tea. He declined the tea. Said, "You know what? I got to get out of here.
I hate tea. I hate it."
Well,
I think it was because she offered him the tea that he did not kill her because he walked outside and immediately murdered Margaret Pahood.
Well, they always said that about Margaret, never offering tea. Always offer tea.
Always offer tea.
That's what we've learned
from this episode. If anybody comes in your house to kill you, offer some tea.
Offer tea.
Sometimes they won't kill you.
Well, depending on the culture, though, in America, offer a Coca-Cola or a cup of coffee.
No, you want a Bud Heavy. Hey, you want a Bud Heavy there,
or
my
Bud
friend?
Heavy, yeah.
So he beats her in the head with a blunt instrument. She collapses. He hits her again. He arranges the clothes, the shoes, and the walking stick. Nobody saw the attack, but a few minutes later, young schoolgirl, who she said looked like just a pile of clothes, dumped in the dumped on the street.
But isn't that how they see all elderly women in Australia? Just a pile of clothes with a cane.
And neighbors, yet again, wash down the crime scene.
Better make sure nobody... Oh, look, someone spilled some... Die. I mean, I know for a fact it's blood.
Yeah.
But we have to just
looks
clean
like
it.
It's another
Everybody
person.
Clean it. Yeah. Yeah.
So what did they do? I'd imagine they'd have to drag either they either dragged the body out of the way and then washed it down, or they just washed it down around her.
I imagine they just washed it down around her.
I was just I mean washed it down so they just fucking like put their thumb on the hose.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it sprayed all
That's
around.
Her all accomplices.
She had to have gotten damp at the very least.
No, they're just as guilty as he was.
It is not dissimilar to Queens, New York. You know, it's like it's
very
similar.
Oh, yeah, I mean, everyone's always watering their sidewalk, yeah.
But also, like, what's interesting is the police force at this time were frantically working to put together this case.
Yeah, but everyone kept on erasing the crime scene.
Yes, but they were doing everything. So what they did was they found one stray fingerprint, so they basically went through the entire town and got everyone to come and put their fingerprints in to, like, and of course
well,
they didn't
find
them.
Into a machine, they cut off everybody's finger, and then they looked at all the fingers, but then they're like, I don't remember whose finger this was.
We've got a label these, Simon.
Man.
Next victim was Olive Cleveland. They thought that it was a heavy fall, but the crime scene was again washed down. Next up was Muriel Falconer. She was 93 years old. Yeah,
Both of these sound like kind of like stripper names.
Olive Cleveland and Muriel Falconer.
Oh, back in the day, you have no idea how pretty they were and what they were up to.
Muriel Falconer. Finally, they had a scene that
was 93.
Undisturbed. She was 93.
93
yeah, they had the scene where they found the fingerprint. They found bloody shoe prints. And a neighbor finally saw a suspect. She described him as middle-aged, gray-haired, and portly.
It wasn't a teenager on a skateboard.
It was not killing
but
all
also
the
in the first victim, there were several gray hairs that were found on her glove. Mm-hmm. But they were like, we don't know if she's just tugging on her own hair. I mean, she was getting right.
That was the craziest thing about it. The only thing that they had... The only thing that hair was useful for back then was just to see what color somebody's hair was. But it was just like such a...
But then all what I do is like is... In the doc I watched, they described, instead of saying portly, they described looking like a doctor. And my question is that an Australian thing that all doctors are fat? I'm asking our listeners, if they, do you believe... When you get... when someone says, oh, he's a doctor, do you imagine a fat man?
I'm not going to a doctor who's skinny.
I hate a skinny doctor.
Absolutely.
Why?
I like a big, fat, chain-smoking doctor.
Yeah.
Who's looking at me outside of a fucking parking lot of a Burger King.
That's why I only go to colonial-themed hospitals.
You've got rickets.
Thank you for telling me.
So the cops aren't on Glover just yet for the murders, but they are on him for the sexual assaults. He starts hearing that the cops are asking questions about him. So the cops go to Glover's door, say, hey, we want to talk to this guy. He's a person of interest. And his wife informs him that he has attempted suicide by overdose. The cops go to see Glover, and the staff handed the police a suicide note that was written by him that was written on 4-20 Pies business paper, and it had a bunch of weird, like these weird fucking sayings that just said, no more grannies. Grannies.
Essie made me do it.
Essie started it.
Yeah.
It's like,
Essie was his mother-in-law.
Don't use the company stationery to express your hatred of grannies.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem is that 4-20 Pies company is going to have to do some pretty serious Twitter apologies after this.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. That really hurt the meat pie business.
Hashtag we love grannies.
We love grannies, Gail.
We love grannies. We're not trying to kill the grannies. We just want them to eat our pies.
Yes.
You know? Now celebrity apologist Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah. And they took a photo of Glover in the hospital as well. And amazingly enough, even though there were 70 people on the task force trying to find the granny killer, and there were grannies explicitly mentioned in this suicide note by this guy that was connected with sexual assaults in nursing homes, it took him 2 weeks to pass that note on to investigators.
But also the problem was, too, is that it was all circumstantial evidence. So it's like what they were saying.
Yeah, they had no evidence.
They had no evidence, and they just knew that
that the first cluster, basically they were noticing the crimes were happening in a circle. Like their first cluster were all around this one area of town.
One.
And then would they basically, they had to tail him. They were basically, like, once this came out, they had to tail him, so they started following him. And they're like, oh, he works for this pie company. Oh, he's going to all the fucking buildings where all the grandmas live.
Yeah. This guy should have been caught a long time ago.
Yeah, and he knew that he was being followed, too. He'd drive the wrong way down one-way streets. He'd circle blocks multiple times, a lot like Gacy, you know, trying to get rid of his tail. But, you know, the tail really didn't do a hell of a whole lot of fucking good, because on March 19th, 1990, Glover had his last victim, Joan Sinclair. She was a 60-year-old divorcee. At this point, Glover, he was on constant surveillance. He showed up at Sinclair's house at 10 a.m.
Should we arrest him now?
Let's see. No, wait, see if he kills her.
Literally, their plan was, they were like, we were going to let him, we're going to watch him stalk a victim, we're going to watch him select a victim, we're going to watch him groom a victim, and then we're going to try and stop him right before he commits the crime. And that was their strategy.
Yeah. They wait until...
Not good cops.
No. Bad cops. It's 10 a.m. By 1 p.m., there's no sign of movement. They became concerned at 5 p.m.
Got
permission to enter the house at 6 p.m. So they knocked on the front door. Their entire excuse is like, we're going to go check on barking dogs. Mm. And there's no answer. And of course, they look in the window and they see a hammer lying in a pool of dried blood, because he killed her so long ago that the blood dried. And so they go inside and they find Sinclair's...
Where is he?
Where is he?
Where are you?
They found her battered head wrapped in a bundle of blood-soaked towels. She was naked from the waist down. Her pantyhose was tied around her neck. Her genitals were damaged. Glover said that he didn't rape her, because supposedly Glover was impotent.
But the reason why he was using a pantyhose was just to kill him.
Yeah. Just to kill him. And he also said that to throw them off the trail a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he knew that would kind of put him in a different direction. It's one of the things that was that completely threw out his insanity defense.
Was it the difference between like serial killers when they were first kind of popping up in the 60s and 70s, and now this is a later serial killer? So these serial killers, as they go, have more knowledge over what police look for when they're looking for serial killers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, the insanity defense, he was definitely crazy. Meat pie guy.
He just hated, because that's
personality disorder.
Yes, personality disorder.
So they search the house for Glover, and they find him in the bathtub with his wrist slashed, unconscious. But they were able to save him.
Yeah,
the only person they were able to save, huh? That's nice.
And he said that he murdered Sinclair, and said that they'd actually been having a relationship.
That's what I was
thinking. Quite a while,
because she was 60, he was 56. That isn't out of the realm of possibility there.
No, not at all. Like, I mean, they were very close in age. That was his last victim. He rolled the body up into a mat, wrapped four towels around her head, dragged her body across the room, ran the bath, swallowed a handful of Valium, slashed his left wrist, lay in the tub to die. The cops go in, they find him, they arrest him, and the trial began.
Now, this is what I find interesting, too, is that he, again, confessed to everything.
Possibly.
Oh, yes.
It's possible that he did not confess to everything, because the last visitor that he had in prison, he handed him this weird, cryptic note that had a sketch of a park. There were two pine trees, and in the middle of the right pine tree, the number 9 had been written.
Number nine.
So it said that it's either the total number of murders that he actually did, although he was only convicted for 6, or it could also be the number of unsolved murders committed by Glover.
Or it could just be like, if you turn it upside down as a 6, and then you turn it the other way, it's a 9, and it's like a sexual, funny little joke.
He's like, that's not a number at all. I just did a weird little, it's kind of like a tree formation.
Just a bad artist.
I just tried to draw to express myself.
The grandma killer, meat pie deliverer, was probably a bad artist.
Yeah. One of his defenses during his trial was that he had a big problem with slot machines. Yeah. And that he was just trying to steal money to get money for slots.
But he went down to the VFW every time.
Well, they got slots at the VFW.
Boom. That's also, he is a politician again, like John Wayne Gacy.
That actually makes sense. Who likes to play slot machines? Elderly women. Who was always at the VFW? Elderly women playing the slot machine. He wanted to play with the money that they had.
But then he said, and then in one of his last confessions, he's like, if you notice, every one of these old ladies looks like my mother-in-law. And that is the truth. He's like, look like their mother-in-law. Can you imagine?
Well, they all start to look the same at some point.
Yeah, I mean, aren't they all just kind of turned into sort of Abe Vigodas out there? Why are we distinguishing?
As soon as you get old, everyone just looks the same. We're going to look the same.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Oh, yeah.
I'll always be taller, but I'll be hunchbacked by then.
Yeah, you'll be bowed over, and I'll be wearing my exoskeleton because of my many riches. And I'll stand 6'7", and I'll be jumping over buildings. I'll kill you before all that happens. Oh, let me live my future.
No, you don't get one.
I'll be in my cabin on the hill by then. Y'all can come visit me anytime you want.
You can be a serial killer?
Hey, can we go? Hey, old Henry, can we go see old Marcus at the cabin on the hill?
Ben. We'll use my rocket chair.
Hey. Y'all want some beer?
Let's go back.
You will use my rocket chair.
All right. See y'all later.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like we didn't even get to Snowtown.
We don't have time to get to Snowtown. Snowtown, it's the most well-known one. You guys know, so you've seen the Snowtown murders. You've seen the movie. And it's... It's an interesting case. Yeah, Snowtown.
It was like Downton Abbey?
Yeah,
no,
like
because if it was called Snowtown, it would be in the Nightmare Before Christmas. Like
Snowtown murder sounds better to me.
Snowtown Matters. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
It's not great.
So we'll cover the Snowtown murders. Maybe we can even put it into a sort of thing of, homosexual family murders.
Yeah, we'll do a whole series on homosexual family murders.
Watch it together
with your family, of course.
I mean, there's definitely a remember the family. The family was said to be the family murdered homosexual boys. We could do a whole episode on people murdering homosexuals, but that could also be a two-parter.
It seems intense.
That's a really sad, intense episode.
We'd have to
episode.
Do Hitler on that one.
Yeah, that's going to be... Well, it's just a one-parter, right?
Hitler will be covered in our gypsy killing episode.
So please tell us where we were right and wrong about Australian facts. You know, where we were right.
Mostly,
that's right. And that's Marcus Parks on Twitter. I'm Ben Kissel on Twitter. That's Henry Loves You on Twitter.
Thank you, Australia, for everything that you've given.
Yeah,
love Australia.
Beautiful women.
Nice.
Hard men. Crooked teeth.
Yeah.
Teeth, smiles like ceiling fans.
They make up for it, though, with their big chiseled chests and biceps and their overall ability to hold you down.
And don't forget we have our live show every month here at the Creek in the Cave. It's the fourth Saturday of every single month. Starts at 10 p.m. 1093 Jackson Avenue in Queens, off of the G and the 7 train. But be sure to check to make sure that the 7 train's running that weekend.
Because if it's not running, you're fucked, buddy. Then you just take the E train.
Yeah, you take the E train. Next week, unfortunately, we're taking next week off. I'm going on vacation. Henry's going to Wisconsin.
Yes, we'll be in Wisconsin. And Sheboygan having a good time. So next week, if you're missing the episode, just roll up a fucking salami log, a fucking full of sweet, sweet oregano hoe, and fucking pipe it down your throat and go to sleep.
Go to sleep for an hour.
Go to sleep or just find something else to do.
I'll just be here in New York alone, so come and visit me.
You won't be alone.
I'm always alone, Marcus, because that's the way I like to be.
He's like a cactus.
Oh.
He's covered in points on the outside, but all mushy in the middle because of his fucking guts and his blood.
Thank you. I have them.
Hail Satan.
Hail yourselves.
Hail Gein.
Hail me!
Congratulations.
Hail me!
Congratulations.
Eh. And enjoy yourself.
And do this iTunes thing.
Go to iTunes and leave a review.
I'm sick of these shows. There are certain shows that are just terrible, and they're currently above us.
Yeah.
So we can't have that happen.
No, and I am infuriated.
Yes.
I am mildly annoyed.
Mildly annoyed Marcus Parks. There's no way for Marcus to live, so help him out, would you?
Goodbye.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.